Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hey everyone, Zach Matchett here, filling in for Steve Arterburn, and welcome to New Life Live. I am joined today by Mark Cameron and Dr. Sherry Keffer. Good to see you guys. Glad you're with us.
Great to be here together.
Yes, it is Memorial Day today, and of course Memorial Day is a time to remember, you know, the men and women who have died while serving in our armed forces. And you know, in the culture, it may just represent a nice long weekend, a three day weekend. And but it's certainly so much more than that. And even just the phrase, you know, going up to somebody and saying, you know, something as simple as "Happy Memorial Day," it may not land, you know, the way that you think it will land with a certain person who maybe has lost a loved one that has served in the armed forces, or lost a loved one in general. And it just kind of led me to think, you know, how do we deal with just the loss of losing a loved one, whether it be a spouse, a child, a loved one, a family member? And, you know, Steve has put together these like 10 tips for healthy grieving, and it's just got some good nuggets there. And when you call 800-NEW-LIFE and ask about that, you can get a copy of that 10 tips for healthy grieving. But I want to throw it to you guys. Sherry, we'll go to you first. But if someone is here today, and regardless of the circumstances surrounding the loss of a loved one, what is just one or two things quickly that you would share with them about how do they process this just grievous loss?
Yeah, well, first let me just say thank you to all those who have served or are serving to keep us free. And I know that statement, freedom isn't free, is highlighted especially on a day like today when we just think about those who have served and given their life up to for us. I think, you know, when you think about those that have passed, I know for me, when someone passes away, it's kind of like we're there at that time during the loss. We might be there before the funeral or shortly thereafter. But then that person's life and the loss goes somewhat dormant. And what I've found is when I go back and reflect with that person, I just have a friend of mine, Joyce, who lost her husband, who did serve. That was an amazing ceremony they had at his funeral with the flag. And but I just checked in with her recently and was just feeling the loss of Bill. Her name is Joyce. And I said, "Hey, I'm just missing Bill." And her eyes lit up. It's like just to remember him, the memorial, just for me to remember, brought her heart joy because they spent their lives together. And so remembering is one thing. Don't be afraid. Yeah. Don't be shy. Don't wait. Just step into that and say, "I'm just missing Bill." And I imagine you're thinking about him as well.
Yeah.
Simple.
Mark. Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
Mark,
that is so funny because you took everything that I was going to say, Sherry.
Oh, my goodness.
I was actually going to share. I
mean, brain twins.
I'm from England, if you can tell with my accent.
I was going to ask you where you're from. It's a cool accent. I want you just to keep talking because it sounds so cool.
So hopefully everyone can understand me here. But we have different days when the holidays are and different names for them.
Yeah,
and our name is Remembrance Day.
Oh.
And so I love it. I love what you just said. That was exactly what I was going to say, is talk about it. Talk about them. Remember them. Remember their legacy. And that's how I think we honor people, and we honor what they've done, and by doing that.
So
yeah,
great.
Absolutely. Yeah, and even just as I was looking at Steve's list here, he says that, you know, if you are grieving, don't be afraid to tell people what you need and what's helpful and what's not helpful. It's much easier if somebody is intuitive and does it rightly, but I think even being direct and letting people know what's helpful for you as you are going through that process. And then the next thing I would say is just consider a church or a community grief support group. Don't do it alone. Don't grieve alone. Don't grieve in isolation. Do it in community. People, we were made for community. We were made for relationship. And so if you find yourself in the midst of loss or grief, please know that we have resources that can help you, but don't do it alone. Don't do it in isolation. Thanks for hanging out with us today here on New Life Life.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for joining us today. Zach Matchett filling in for Steve Arterburn. I'm with Mark Cameron and Dr. Sherry Keffer, and we are so appreciative that you're joining us today. I want to share with you just a quick resource that the New Life team has put together called 100 Days to Freedom from Anger. If you find yourself struggling with anger, this is a great resource to kind of help you explore. Sherry is holding it up for us, those of you that are watching online.
It's got it's turquoise. I thought it might be red with anger, but I love the turquoise.
No, it's good.
Awesome.
You're like
anger
a fan of white holding that out there. Like a game show here.
It's beautiful. It's leather. It's gorgeous.
If you give any gift during the month of May, we'll send that to you. And really, the point of it is just it helps explore the sources of anger and kind of guides you to surrender those attitudes, the temper that we may have, and then just those emotions to God. So again, if you contribute to New Life this month, we would love to send that to you as a resource. We're going to go to your calls today. And so first, we're going to go to Gretchen. Gretchen is actually watching us on YouTube, which you can. You can actually go to YouTube.com, type in New Life Live and watch. But Gretchen, thanks so much for joining us today. How can we help you?
Hi. So I wanted to ask Dr. Keffer, because I think that she shows more feelings than anyone of the host. So I have this exercise that I'm trying to do, and it's by a Christian psychiatrist, and it's about Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. And the exercise is to take a few moments in a quiet, comfortable place, free of distraction, and simply imagine the best that you can being in God's presence while he is feeling delighted to be with you, while he is quieting you and rejoicing in your presence. And one of the questions is, do you feel Jesus feeling delight, joy, and peace? And this is a very difficult exercise for me to do, and I was just wondering if you could have any suggestions on how to more successfully do it. I think I got sidetracked with the mighty warrior and was kind of focusing, trying to visualize that just because I liked what it represented, strength and protection. But I can't feel God's feelings for me.
Hmm.
And that's what the point of the exercise is. And I think it's very difficult to do.
Yeah. Gretchen, thanks for reaching out. Sherry, why don't you go ahead and respond?
Yeah, do you know what, Gretchen? That's one of my favorite all-time verses. And in the Amplified Version, it says this, "The Lord God is in the midst of you, a mighty one, a Savior who saves." So sometimes when we're moving on a spiritual exercise, for those of us, and I'm going to include me in this, Gretchen, who haven't been delighted in, when we were growing up, when we felt missed, it takes a step before we do the exercise to just get in touch with that feeling of being delighted in. And so it makes me really curious about you, girl. It makes me wonder if you had grown up in a home where either you were missed, not seen, or criticized, like one of the two. Can you float back, and does any of that make sense?
A lot of criticism.
Okay.
A lot of criticism.
Bless your sweetheart. So now what I would do with you is I would have you float back, and I would have you go to school. Like, I want you to think about teachers. I want you to think about friends, moms. I want you to think about somebody in your life that actually delighted in you, that might have complimented you, might have said, "You're so funny," or I love this about you," or "You're so good in studying." Or can you think of any one person?
That's funny, because I cried when I got out of sixth grade, because and it wasn't that he delighted in me, but I loved that teacher. He was very affirming to me and to the whole class.
Okay.
He was just that kind of a teacher.
But he was so affirming that it felt like his care was like water in the Sahara Desert. Right?
I cried when I got out of sixth grade.
Okay.
Yeah,
because you missed
leaving that classroom.
Yeah. Now if you had been raised by someone like that teacher, would that have been a good thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, honey, I want you to find that delight. That's that good teacher God gave you as what I call golden threads. He's a sacramental carrier. God gave him to you as a balance and as a real life person that you know what delight felt like. Now, if you think about your teacher and what it would have felt like to grow up and be cared for by him, not to have to leave him, but just focus on that delight. Now, do you know that God, that teacher, is a picture of that Savior who saves?
Yeah.
He wasn't a warrior. He was a teacher that loved you. But he saved your heart from feeling like the world was just full of critical people who didn't see you. So tap into that, then see if you can transition to the exercise.
Yeah.
What about you, Mark? Go ahead.
Can we feel God's feeling for us?
To be honest with you, some of us need work to feel any kind of feeling, to be able to absorb the love and delight. So I think some people get frustrated or feel like God isn't there for them and isn't showing up. And it kind of can cause even a spiritual wound if we're trying to make something happen and it's not working. Yeah. Well, the reason it's not working, it's not because God doesn't delight in you. It's because we haven't had a lot of experiences of God's, of people delighting in us. We just haven't had it. And how do I know how to experience that with God if I've rarely had it on planet Earth? I mean, I'm delighting in you right now. The fact that you're so brave, you came to us, you're asking this question, you're so tenacious, you really want to feel God. And yet, girl, there's been some what's traumas of omission. There were good things you needed and didn't get, like delight. Mm. And so some of us have a bit of a journey to get there, and that's way okay. It's normal. Right? I can already hear Mark in my head saying, that's absolutely normal, right?
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Sherry. And I think one thing that I might suggest to help you, Gretchen, is, and you can probably find this online, actually, if you just do a quick Google search of positive and negative affirmations, you can probably find some handouts on there. And I would look through them, and I would start with the negative affirmations and look through and pick some of those out that you felt like as a kid, and maybe that you even feel like now. Maybe some of those words are actually even spoken to you.
I'm not good enough.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. And then start to label that. Start to recognize that thinking. When those words pop into your head, label where that comes from and say, oh, that was my dad. That's my dad's voice. Or that's my mom's voice.
That's so good.
That's not God's voice over me, right? And one thing I like to help people understand is that these are beliefs that you hold, and they hold deeply, right? And beliefs are like anchors. And if you hold on to the wrong anchor, it will sink you down into the depths of insecurity, right? But if you hold on to the right anchor, it will save you in a storm. So identify your negative affirmations of yourself and look over to the, usually they come in a list and you can see the opposing positive affirmation, and speak that over yourself and hold on to that anchor, okay?
You're Absolutely. Making me think of one, I think, for you, Gretchen, with him bringing it up. It's, I need to be perfect and please everyone. Mm-hmm. And the opposite is of it is, I'm okay as I am. Mm-hmm. Like, warts and all, I can be accepted, right? So,
Sherry, is there something that we could send to Gretchen that maybe you've either written or put together that would maybe be helpful for her specifically?
You know what? I think probably Take Your Life Back. I haven't written it, but I think that would be a really good, because like, you know, what Mark was saying, we've got to take our life back from those lies that have been spoken over us so that we can actually live out who we are. So I think that'd be a great resource.
Yes. And, you know, so many of us, it's our natural instinct to try to live for the approval of others. And I'm thankful that in God, I can live from approval, that just because I'm uniquely created, he approves of me. And that's what we can rest in. And whether we feel that or not, if we remind ourselves, and then if we have people around us to remind us too and believe it on our behalf when we don't believe it or it's not easy to, that's the anchor. Mark, I love that word that you used earlier. That can be an anchor in a stormy situation. So Gretchen, I hope you're encouraged today. We're going to go to Tammy next. Tammy is listening to us in Pennsylvania. She's listening to us on Sirius XM. Tammy, thanks for joining us on New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Yes, can you hear me?
We can hear you, yes. How can we help?
Great. So I'll just ask my question and get a little background. My question is, I'm newly married, been married a year.
Congratulations.
And my question is, thank you, second marriage for both of us. My question is, do I submit to my husband and attend his church, which we've been attending since we got married? I joined the church, although a year into the church, I do not like it. I do not feel comfortable with it. So do I submit to him and just continue to attend the church? The issues I have with the church is it's an hour away from where we live, so it's almost impossible for me to be involved during the week. We both were in leadership. I was in leadership at my church. I had been there for 12 years. He's in leadership at his church. My other issue is he dated a woman at the church who's still at the church. He dated for 2 years, and it was a physical relationship. So it makes it a little awkward for me to see her every week. But my husband wants me to stay at the church because he feels like because it's a small church, and I came from a very large church, that we both have opportunities to serve and help be a blessing to the church, although I'm not comfortable with the church at all. It's just a different, I came from a non-denominational church, and I'm willing to go to a Baptist church. I just want us to go to one that we mutually pick.
So I have a quick question. I have a quick question.
Sure.
Tammy, can you worship God when you're seeing this other woman who slept with your husband, dated? He slept with her when they dated. Can you really focus in on God?
I struggle.
Okay.
I try to ignore her.
But you know what, girl? It is what it is. It's a fact. It's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I got your list. I was writing them down, listening with elephant ears, right? But you know what? I'll tell you something. That's the one that goes right to the core. It's a small church.
Mm-hmm.
She's known your husband like you've known your husband. And you're having a hard time focusing in on the Lord when you're there trying to bat away these thoughts that are coming into your mind.
Yeah.
Those are normal thoughts.
Yeah.
If the roles were reversed, I guarantee you he would have a hard time at a small church knowing that there was a guy there that slept with you. I guarantee you. But we don't think about that. Mark works a lot with Mylon and Kay's comfort circle. I'm going to let him talk about it. But I just want you to know, a lot of times we are frustrated and so we give up. And we say, well, do I need to submit? But you know what the Bible says about that word? It's a beautiful passage. It says this, submit one to another. That means there's two people. There's a conversation.
Yeah, mutual submission.
Yeah, it's not like I just have to give and get over it. You're not over it. And I'd have a hard time. I'm just being a woman with you right now. Mm-hmm. I would have a hard time, girl.
Yep.
I'm on your team. So what do you think, Mark, thoughts?
Yeah, I love your realness there, Sherry. Well, I hear the music playing, so I'm going to have to try and be brief. We'll pause here real quick. But your situation sounds very familiar to me, Tammy. There's a lot about your situation that's similar to a situation that I've been through.
Do we get to know you a little bit personally?
Yeah, so I'll share a little bit about that. I am in a second marriage, too, with my wife. And when we got married, we were struggling and trying to figure out which church do we go to. And it's a big decision there to try and figure out, right? Both of you leave your own home churches and you're trying to find somewhere new to worship God. But I'm running out of time here, so I'll let you take over real
quick. You're going to leave us with a cliffhanger.
And then I'll come back.
Great cliffhanger. Yeah, stay on the line, Tammy. Yeah, Mark, I want to hear more about that. And yeah, we've got to find a community that and congregation that you both could be a part of where these some of these other things are not happening. So stay on the line, Tammy. We'll be right back in this break.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for hanging out with us today on New Life Live. Zach Matchett filling in for Steve Arterburn. I have Dr. Sherry Keffer and Mark Cameron with me. I wanted to just give a brief update here on some of our workshops coming up. We have Every Man's Battle happening in Indianapolis on June 10th. We have our Restore workshop in Dallas July 15th. To the 17th, and on that one, if you actually register by July 1st, you can save $200. And then we also, and we've talked about this here previously, the Intimacy in Marriage workshop as well, July 22nd to the 24th in Washington, D.C. Again, if you register by July 8th, you can save $200. And so please take advantage of these resources if you can. They're designed just to help you if you find yourselves in a bit of a troubling situation or a crisis situation, whether the situation is sexual integrity, problems with your marriage, just stuff that you're going through personally, please take advantage of some great resources that we have here at New Life. We've got someone on the line that was sharing, Tammy, that was sharing on the line about this situation of where do I go to church? Where do we find a community? And yet there's this previous person in their life from her husband's life that we causing some difficulties. But Mark, you were sharing that this is relating to someone from your personal experience, and I want to let you pick it back up from where you started.
Yeah, so my story is not exactly like Tammy's, but we were, my wife and I, after we got married, we found a church, we were going to it, we enjoyed it, and then something happened in the church, and my wife got hurt. And some of what she said is that, you know, it's true. The church was an hour away for us. It wasn't in our local community. And so at some point, she just stopped going, and she started going to a church that was closer to us. Well, stubbornly, probably, I continued to go to the other church, and my daughter just liked to go to church with me, so she went with me, and my son went with my wife. And so we were a family split going to two different churches, and I really enjoyed the message at the other church, but what I realized is that it's more important to be with my family.
Wow.
And
wow.
So I told my wife, she was very happy. I told her, I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going to come with you. Whatever I'm getting out of the other church, I'll listen online. I'll still continue to get that. I still maintain my friendships. But I think your situation's a little bit different, Tammy, and I encourage you to talk to your husband because the brain works by association. Right. And Sherry brought it up. You're going there. You're seeing this woman. It's really, really hard for you. So I encourage you to go to him and ask him. Maybe there's a different church you can go to. And maybe the men's group that he still enjoys during the week, he can still go to that. If he still enjoys the message, maybe he can listen online.
Yeah. You know, it's so brave of you, Mark, to just bring up what comes up in all of us is those moments of stubbornness. Where we just put our heels in deeper because we want to win. You know, we want what we want. And that can so get us off track as far as what's best for us. It becomes a me against you. And I love how honest you are. My mind flashed in front of me like all the times, and there's even something right now where I'm like, oh yeah, I'm doing it right now. I am in me rather than us mode. And it's so easy to go there, but it's not the best plan. And I love your vulnerability. And Tammy, maybe even think about having your husband listen to the show. I mean, it might be kind of vulnerable, right, to have him listen. We are for both of you. We're really for both of you. We just are trying to help assist with a solution. And there's a lot of solutions out there. We don't have to just stay stuck in one.
That's good. Any resource that we might recommend for Tammy?
I think How We Love by Mylon and Kay, because there is a lot of collaboration when they talk about the Comfort Circle in one of their chapters. So much about how we love is, are we, you know, going into our own corner, or are we really listening to learn about the other person and what's going on for them? And if we're listening to love, then we are actually open to hearing about the distress and you know, can you worship? Are you able to be clear-headed? And if not, it's defeating the purpose.
And you don't have to agree in order to be able to listen.
True.
It's for understanding, not for agreement.
Yeah.
Sure. And joining a local church, I mean, this may go without saying, but it's not merely about attending the worship service. I mean, you're joining a community. Mm-hmm. So it's much more holistic than the weekend worship service time or whatever. And so I think it, even on the practical side of things, trying to find a place where you both can plug in and sink your teeth into the community. And that is probably, practically speaking, going to be better if it's somewhat closer, too. That's just going to make sense there. So, Tammy, hope you're encouraged by that. We're going to go to April next. April is from here in Indiana. She's listening to us on Pure Radio. April, thanks so much for joining us today here on New Life Live. How can we help you?
I got a question. I'm just going to just go ahead and say it and then just step back and listen to y'all talk. My husband and I have been dealing with two issues in our marriage. We've been married 28 years this September, and we've been dealing with two issues. One of them is his sexual impurity. He likes looking at other women. And then the other one is marijuana smoking. Now, the sexual addiction, we started tackling about 4 or 5 years ago, and he was doing wonderful. And I say was, but he is doing wonderful. The marijuana issue, it comes up every now and then, but it hadn't come up in about 7 years. And this past, I want to say Tuesday or Wednesday, he got caught smoking marijuana again. And it broke my heart because we had been doing so well. And so my question is, where do I go from here? Because I'm about sick and tired of going from one thing to the next.
Yeah, yeah. April, thanks for sharing. I can hear you're sick and tired and your voice. And we're going to go to a break here in a second, so stay on the line. We'd love to chat with you and get some help. It could be such a setback when you make progress and you take several steps back. But I'm going to believe that there could be some resolve and resilience developed through this process. So stay on the line. We'll be right back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for hanging out with us today. Zach Matchett filling in for Steve Arterburn. I'm here with Dr. Sherry Keffer and Mark Cameron. We've got April here on the line talking about some sex addiction with her husband, also some marijuana use. And we just wanted to kind of come back after the break and have a chance to respond to her. So, Sherry, we'll go to you first and how you would respond to April.
So, April, when you said he got caught using marijuana, did you catch him? Was he being honest about his marijuana use? Like, what's going on there?
Yes. Yes, I caught him. Ironically, he did it in our garage. And when I approached him about it, he lied about it, and that's what hurts me. It's not so much as the use of it, even though I loathe it and we've had a talk about it. I'm more upset about the lie, because again, we have been doing so well. Miss Sherry, I just talked to you about 2 months ago, and we're the ones where my husband took the polygraph test.
I thought I recognized you, actually. I was wondering if it was you. Yeah, yet. So...
And we had been doing so well, and he... I can't believe he lied. And so now I'm back to square one. Mm-hmm. I don't know where to go from here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's so interesting. I talk about this in my book, Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal. I did some research with 100 betrayed partners, and I asked them, I said, okay, I know both of these are painful, but which one feels more painful, the sexual acts that were done or the continued patterns of lies after that person, you know, was in recovery? And guess what? 65% of us said it's those continued patterns of lies, because it's the deception. It takes us back to other D-days, other discovery days that we've had. And it makes us feel nervous, scared, worried about, well, if you're going to lie about using marijuana in our garage, are you really being honest about your sexual recovery as well?
Exactly.
Yeah. And so did you ask him about his sexual recovery? Have you said, hey, husband, this frightened me because you lied to me. What is your sobriety date? That's like the last time you sexually acted out in any way, with yourself, others, whatever. What's your sexual sobriety date? Did you ask him that?
I didn't ask him the sobriety date, but we do have about a two-hour talk every Sunday on what took place during the week.
Okay, but I want to have you ask him that.
Okay.
Yeah, just ask him. Because if he's doing well in that area, he's going to be able to give you a date, and he's either going to be honest or he's going to lie. He's going to, it'll force the lie. Not that you want him to lie, but when someone is coming out of sex addiction, right, when they're coming out of using marijuana and lying about it, the truth is really important. It's not to be minimized, right? Because that's how we rebuild trust. That's how we repair the hurts. That's how we learn how to move forward as a couple.
Yeah.
And so it's critical. I would just ask him that.
Mark, what would you throw in here? I mean, I think about just the idea of this is something that happened like in the home, but it's still done in secrecy, and maybe what is going on in this gentleman's life that maybe is driving him back, that's maybe making him, you know, kind of go back to these old behaviors. I mean, what would you share here?
Gosh, April, it's so frustrating when somebody keeps on lying to you. What boundary do you want to put in place? What are you thinking?
Well, I have moved out of the bedroom. I am in the guest bedroom, and I have been since the lie. I don't know what boundaries, because I don't know what to do. Here's what I do know. I can't be hurt like this again. Mm-hmm. We've been at this way too long, in my opinion, to keep coming back to this particular place. And so I go and see my therapist on Friday. And at this point, I just want to know, what is it me? Am I enabling him to continue to lie to me? Hmm. Or because I feel really dumb. I feel embarrassed.
Mm-hmm. But you know what
so
that is?
Upset and hurt.
Do you know what that is, April? That's a trauma-induced... That's a betrayal trauma-induced shame belief. It's that I'm stupid. Mm-hmm. But you know what? You know what the truth is? Is I've been deceived.
Yeah.
It's not about your level of smartness. It's really about the deception. And the fact that you caught him lying in your garage, that's the hurt. So if we let that, you know, Mark talked earlier about, I can't remember, is this show or another show, about the anchors, anchoring lie. I think it was the other show we did last week. It was so good. If we allow that anchor of that I'm stupid to hold on to us, instead of the truth is I've been deceived, and there's some more work he needs to do. He needs to work on integrity, because sometimes alongside of a sex addiction, there's actually an integrity disorder, and that's what this sounds like. He's being dishonest.
April, I think you should think about what it is that you want, and I think you should give him a list. And it sounds like you're holding him accountable. You're having these two-hour talks every week. You're holding him accountable. He needs to hold himself accountable, and I think you need to tell him that. I think you need to tell him. You need to put some structures in place to show me that you're holding yourself accountable. Otherwise, I think you might need to escalate some of your boundaries.
Yeah. April, does your husband have anybody else outside of you that's checking in to see how he's doing with his recovery journey?
He's part of a every man's battle group that speaks. They talk every day.
So did he tell him about the lie?
I've been in the other room. I have no idea.
So I want you to ask him what his sobriety date is, and then I want you to ask him, did you tell the guys that you lied to me and were smoking pot? Because those guys are there to hear the truth. They're not there just to check in and kick tires. They're there to work. Those recovery groups are there. They're their battle brothers.
Yeah.
So ask him. We can ask him that. There's nothing wrong with asking him.
That's right. And accountability can't work if disclosure is not happening. Mm-hmm. So yeah. it's a self-defeating principle. So April, I want to be able to get you a resource. I don't know if Sherry or Mark, you have anything to suggest
wrap
up here.
I mean, April, do you have my book? Do you have my book, Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds? Let's just send her a copy of my book. I'm not sure she has one. Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal. Yeah, talk about a whole chapter on boundaries on there. Is no is a complete sentence.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and just your point about, you know, the betrayal and the lies itself being more painful than the actual acts of sexual betrayal.
That's
huge.
That's what the partner said.
Yeah,
why the acts are horrible, they're bad, they're hurtful, but that continued lies is really what actually ends up taking a relationship down, and that's why the integrity piece is so important.
Yeah, that's great. Larry, thanks for joining us today. What do you got for us?
Sure enough, I want to read you the testimony and speak to it at the end. She writes, a few months ago I was struggling in an abusive marriage. I was going through the worst depression of my life, feeling like I had nowhere to turn. I heard you say that if you need a Christian counselor in your area, to contact you. I did and found an excellent Christian counselor in my area who has helped me through, and my two daughters, the two most devastating events of my life. My marriage of 19 years finally ending, and the very painful and tragic loss of my father in a car accident. I never give to big ministries, but your ministry has helped my life and the lives of my children so directly that I'm happy to give to your ministry so that you can be around to help others like me. I wish it could be more. Well, folks, what she says really plays into why we're asking you for support, especially at this time, because it could be more. I've had a lot of people tell me, I wish it could be more. You make a gift now and we will double it because we have a large pool of funds as a matching gift. And this is a recorded program, so I don't have an updated figure. But I'm sure it's over, well, I shouldn't say I'm sure, I'm guessing it's over $500,000. And you can give whatever you can give, $5, $5,000, whatever you can give, and it will be doubled. And you won't have to say, I wish it could be more, because it will be more. So whatever you can do, we would appreciate it. Call us at 800-NEW-LIFE. That's 639-5433. Or you can mail in a check. You can go online and make a gift. There's a lot of ways to give. You can text to match at 28950. Anything you give, it'll be doubled. It'll make a difference in people's lives. And go see a counselor. Listen to this lady. She found an excellent counselor, and it helped her through the two most devastating events of her life. So thanks so much.
Yeah. Just visit us at newlife.com if you want to get more information about that stuff. Larry, again, just thanks for sharing stories of life change. Guys, know that when you contribute to this ministry, you're making it possible for people to get the help that they need, especially in a time of crisis or in a time of need. And just as we finish up that last call, I just thought to myself, you know, this idea of hiding and keeping secrets. Mm-hmm. The secret to a healthy marriage is no secrets. Just be open and transparent and share openly. I know it's hard. I know it takes risk and courage, but I'm telling you, there's no going back because it's the healthiest way to be. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
This is Terry McIntosh, and May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I want to remind you that taking care of your mental health is as important as eating healthy, exercising, or even saving for the future. To help you manage your mental health and to better understand those with struggles, we're featuring a sale on a variety of books, CDs, and devotions all month long. Visit our online store at newlife.com to shop the sale.
Thanks so much again for hanging out with us today at New Life Live. Zach Machin here filling in for Steve Arterburn. Dr. Sherry Keffer and Mark Cameron are with me. We've just had some great conversation with those of you that have called in, and we're going to get to our final call here. We've got Christine, who is listening to us on Facebook, actually. She's listening to us in New Jersey. And so, Christine, thanks for joining us today on New Life Live. How can we help you?
Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I just need some help with how to deal with past trauma of losing a child.
I'm so sorry.
Due to a miscarriage. Mm-hmm. And I just recently found out that I'm pregnant again. And So I'm feeling like a lot of nervousness.
Yeah. Well, I want to say congratulations on your pregnancy.
Thank
What's your
you.
Question? So how can
thank
we help?
You. Just how to, there's been some issues that have come up currently, and about 6 weeks along, I'm a little older. Actually, I'm 46. So, there's been a couple of things, issues that have come up, and I'm just having a lot of nervousness and anxiety about possibly, having another issue.
Yeah.
So my question is, how do I deal with, the trauma of that again? If that were to, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but if that were to happen.
Yeah. Well, again, I just want to communicate how sorry I am for your loss, and I know that these things, to some degree, never go away. You continue to grieve the loss of your preborn child. Can I ask you, did you do any sort of, what steps did you take after the first incident? Did you see a counselor? Did you process through those things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my husband and I went to a grief support group for about 2 years.
Great. Okay.
Did you,
Sherry, jump
did
in
you,
here.
Yeah, did you, I'm so sorry, Christine, I completely understand your vulnerability right now.
Yeah.
And did you do any trauma work? I love the grief group, but any in-depth trauma around the loss? Often when I'm working with women just like you, there is this nagging negative belief that got wired in back then when you lost your first little one. And the negative belief sounds like this. I'm not in control. Mm. It might sound like I'm powerless, I'm helpless. It might sound like I'm in danger, or my baby's in danger, right? Do any of those resonate with you when you think about the worry or anxiety?
Yeah, like it's my fault.
Okay, so I did something wrong. That's it's my fault.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or my body, something's wrong with my body. Like as a woman, I feel ashamed as a woman, like my body couldn't carry it.
Yeah, bless your sweet heart. Now that, my dear, surfaced. It's surfaced. Mark had talked about anchors in as far as negative beliefs or lies that can get anchored down, but it's surfacing right now. It's this fear you have is because there is a trauma-induced shame belief that something's wrong with my body and I can't carry this baby. Now, let me ask you a question. I talk about this in my book. It's called 180-degree turnaround. What is the opposite of something's wrong with my body and I can't carry this baby? What's the opposite of that, if you were to write it down?
God has formed me perfectly.
Okay.
I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Okay. So God has formed you. Well, let's talk about your womb, because you believe that your womb is defective. What's the opposite? Let's talk about your womb. What's the opposite of my womb is defective, it can't carry a baby?
God has created me in my inward parts, and I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Okay, so guess what? I'm going to walk you right into it, because I know it's hard to say, because you don't believe it, and it's okay. It sounds like this.
Mm-hmm.
God gave me a womb, and God's holding my baby in my womb, and I'm praying to carry this baby full term. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Doesn't that sound good? Now, this is the deal. It's okay if you don't believe it 100% right now, because the other belief is wanting to crowd out a possibility.
Yeah.
But I want you to write that down, and I just want you to meditate on that, because that's truth. He gave you a womb. God's in charge of your womb and your baby, right? I mean, we don't have control over that.
Okay.
But you're praying that you can carry this baby full term. If you pray that, if you focus in on it, no matter what happens, your anxiety will decrease somewhat, because you're focusing in on the hope instead of the tragedy. But it's common to focus in on the tragedy, because it's a trauma.
Yeah. Yeah. Mark, I thought about this too, like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is more your guys' expertise. I feel like trauma just accentuates feelings. Like, whatever the feeling is, it just makes it go several levels deeper, and it's just makes it that much more challenging to make sure that we're processing through those very real feelings, those very real fears and hurts and desires and all those things. So how would we, in that process of trauma, what would you suggest Christine do to kind of not just overcome it, because I think that sounds so simple to do, of course, but how to sit in it and really process through those feelings?
Right, correct, Zach. Yeah, trauma, it's like a turbocharger behind feelings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And all of the past experiences and what we felt in our body and the cognitions, the beliefs and the emotions, they all flood back in again. But I love what you said there, Sherry. And anxiety has to do with a fear that is not yet identified yet, right? Because Christine, you don't know that anything's wrong. You're just anxious that something could be wrong. And so
I did go to the doctor.
Okay.
I did go to the doctor, and they said that they can see the gestational sac, and they can see the yolk sac, but they can't see the fetal pole.
Mm. Okay, so you have a very real fear that's going on here, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so hard. It's hard
but
to feel.
I'm really early, too.
Mm.
I'm only 6 weeks, so
yeah.
I could be very early, too.
Yeah.
Do you know what, girl? God started life, and you're 6 weeks into life, and all we can do is pray for life. I mean, you're a mama, right? You're a mom. You just have yet to hold the baby in your arms, but you're a mom.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what we do as moms? We pray that if it's possible, Lord, would you allow me to hold this baby?
Yeah.
And if not, will you continue to hold this baby until I will see this baby in heaven, right? I mean, there's no end. You will hold both your babies. We're just praying that you'll get to hold one here. That's all.
That's right. I just reminded of that words of Paul. Present your request to God. Don't be anxious about anything. The peace of God will be with you. And that's just what I'm praying for you today, Christine. Thanks so much for joining us on New Life Live today.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.